I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Okay, and we are back at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show inside the Quicken Loan Studios. We have got an awesome program this evening as we have already had a ton of college football talk and previews, always giving you the very best that we've got. It is time now to head out to the SEC. We're going to visit with a very dear friend of our show. He is a columnist with SouthernPigskin.com, also the anchor for the new Southern Pigskin Radio Network. It is a regional network in Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina, and that is Buddy Martin, which means it is time to talk some SEC and, of course, his Florida Gators. Congratulations on the new gig, buddy. It's nice to have you with us on this Friday night.
Well, thank you, Alyssa. I hope one of these days to be as big as you are. I don't know. you've been covering the whole Southwest for a long time, so I'm glad to be not quite at your level, but working toward that.
Oh, well, I'm so humbled, but I tell you, you are definitely definitive proof that you're like a fine wine. You just get better with time. I mean, my goodness, all the years you've been on my show, what, you've written 7 books on football, you've won an Emmy, life is good. Now you've got this regional radio show. This is so cool.
Just can't help myself. When it gets down to football in the South, I have to just keep on going. So we're excited about this year and naturally in the SEC and the ACC. Of course, there's an ACC team here close by, which I believe won a national championship last year, but most of our focus will be around the ACC, and of course a lot of it will be focused in Gainesville to see whether or not Will Muschamp can turn the fortunes around. Maybe not become this year's Auburn, but certainly better than what they did last year for sure after that miserable 4-8 season.
Well, that will certainly be one of our subjects and discussion points, but right now let's start things off talking about the SEC's dominance for the national championship. It ended last season, but the conference, Ken Buddy, still flexed their mighty muscles as the number one conference in college football. Give us your view coming into the 2014 season, the strength of the SEC, because we opened our show tonight talking about the gap between the SEC and the Pac-12, how perhaps it has narrowed a bit.
Well, you know, there's no question that the other conferences are going to catch up with the SEC, maybe not dead level, but nobody gets to stay on top for a long time. I mean, not past 7, 8, 10 years. There is evolution in everything, and I suspect there'll be, you know, Pac-12, Big 12. I don't know that the Big Ten has any chance of catching the ACC anytime soon, but no question about it, there are going to be better coaches around the country. But right now, you have to just be shocked and amazed at the success of this conference. And it's because of the athletes and the great coaches and the facilities and the money and now the power of their own network and the power they have with the dollars. And as we watch football and college football evolve now with the talk of payment and stipends, the richest conferences are going to do better. And certainly the richest conference is the SEC.
Well, you bring up an interesting point because you did post a pretty persuasive, a compelling article at SouthernPigskin.com about the new SEC. They don't play for manhood or Southern pride anymore. I mean, the landscape has really changed. It really is about, it's all about cash.
Yeah, and no matter what you say, you hate to equate it to that, but there's no doubt about it. There's such a large sum of money right now involved, and that not only have the athletic departments done quite well, but the administrations have benefited from it because many schools now are giving substantial dollars to the academic programs. In Florida, they gave $5 million the last couple of years. And so it's a win-win-win when you can take money from the athletic department and it helps support your university's academic program. It was always the other way around in many places. Now it's just, it's the athletics which are help paying the bills for education, and that's certainly a good thing.
Well, if I may, I'll quote you from that particular article. You said that the economic model, it is genius. There are franchises mostly underwritten by state governments and funded by TV revenue. The workers, the players, they don't get a salary, and there is no free agency. Players can't change venues without a penalty.
That's correct, and I think we're seeing a little bit of softening in that now. I think that article was written about 2.5 months ago, and I think I said at that time that the Super 65, which was what I call it,
right,
were going to prevail, and the SEC would lead the way. And that's kind of what we've seen happen. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but, you know, with given the playoffs that we have this year, the enormous TV ratings, it's got to happen. Ironically, it's a double-edged sword, because at the same time, while there's flourishing because of television, many of the universities, most all of them, are suffering at the gates, where they're not selling out a lot of their games. And there's the idea that you could buy a single game ticket to Florida football 5 years ago was totally foreign. And now there's all kinds of packages available for folks, because there are so many people who rather sit home and watch on their HDTV. So that's changed things. The money's still going well. The donations are coming in, but the stadium experiences have not been as good. And consequently, while they're getting lots of money from TV, it is hurting the attendance. And you wonder if this is going to be a trend, or if this is something we just have seen in recent years.
Okay, the columnist with SouthernPigskin.com, Buddy Martin, joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio. Also, he's the anchor for the new Southern Pigskin Radio Network in Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina. I thought it was interesting, too, that you said don't insult us by insisting on calling them student-athletes. They are students, and yes, they are athletes, but basically they are unpaid interns with free room and board.
No question about it. That's what it is. And you can splice it any way you want to. And you can say they get a free education. It's not really a free education. There's a lot of sweat and effort, and you're an athlete.
Oh yeah,
I remember. You play sports. you have to, it's work. I mean, you try. You know, you can't get a job, and you can't go take a full load academically, and be at your best training at the same time without something having to give. And it's a job. You may have to like your job, but hey, I like my job too here. Southern Pigskin, I'm sure you like your job at Yahoo Radio.
Yeah.
But I want to get paid. How about you?
Absolutely. Well, okay, college football, they are transitioning to the new 4-team playoff this year. Some predict the SEC is positioned to potentially, Buddy, have two teams in this new format. You look at all the teams in the SEC, Alabama, Auburn, Georgia. Who would be the top two teams at the forefront of your mind?
Well, everybody wants to say that the SEC West is loaded, and that they're going to get their opportunities first, and that the best teams should go no matter what division they come from. But without question, up in Hoover, Alabama, at SEC Media Days, Alabama was picked to win it, and then there was everybody else. I actually did a poll of who would be the second team. People think beyond Alabama, if Alabama doesn't win it, who would it be? And oddly enough, the team that came out second in my little poll was not Auburn. It was not LSU. It was not South Carolina. It was not Florida, but South Carolina.
Interesting.
Was the team picked to most likely to win the SEC if Alabama didn't. So Steve Spurrier now, of course, has got his program going very well. He's really happy. He thinks he's got a great-looking quarterback in Dylan Thompson. Of course, a great running back in Davis. A lot of talk about South Carolina again. I'm sure that South Carolina is not quite ready to play at the level of Alabama, but at the SEC Media Days, as Spurrier said, the team with the best talent doesn't always win, and the guy who said amen in the background wasn't, in fact, Nick Saban.
Columnist with SouthernPigskin.com, Buddy Martin is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are up against the clock. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be rejoined with Buddy Martin right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Okay, we are so glad you're joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. We want to connect with you. We want to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at E-Radio Sports, and you can always go back and listen to our podcast at yahoosportsradio.com/podcast. Tonight, we are being joined with our very special guest, Buddy Martin. He is a columnist with SouthernPigskin.com, and I'm so glad that you bring up Steve Spurrier. I mean, he's a personal friend. You guys go way back. Just kind of give us your assessment of the job he's done at South Carolina, because he's certainly been strong and steady and one of the most consistent teams over the past 3 to 4 years.
Well, Alyssa, I'm sure you're on Twitter, as most of us are, and I'm actually starting this this hashtag because I think it's something we all agree with in the media. Hashtag Steve Spurrier never retire. Once again, at the media days, he was absolutely amazing. He totally dominated the media days. I'd hate to follow him. And when he got up and talked about what he said there about recruiting and Saban and sort of poking fun at the fact that people wanted to give a trophy, the Davy Crockett trophy in the A&M game, you know, when he said, I'm from Tennessee, I'm sorry, it was not David, it was the Alamo Bowl Award. And they wanted to name it after a South Carolinian. And Steve said, wait a minute, I'm from Tennessee. And I always thought Davy Crockett was the hero of the Alamo. And so he gave us one good line after another. He always seems to just enjoy the media. He enjoys the sparring with people. He's always got something to say. So, yeah, hashtag. Steve Spurrier, never retire.
Okay, so, buddy, what are your expectations? How deep can they go?
I'm not convinced that Spurrier is ready to leap up to the Alabama's level. I like Alabama. I think South Carolina has got an excellent chance of winning the East. And I have to wait to see about Pruitt, the new defensive coordinator in Georgia, who seems to be making a lot of noise. But right now, I got that second place between Florida and Georgia. And I like what is happening in Gainesville. And by the way, I've been very critical of Will Muschamp for the last couple of years. I see a change in Gainesville. I think things are going to be better. Watch for Jeff Driscoll to have a huge year at Florida. I expect him with the new offensive coordinator, Kurt Roper, to really make hay. So watch for him. Otherwise, I don't know what to make of LSU at this point in time with the quarterback situation being changed. So I'm going to go Alabama versus South Carolina for the SEC title.
You know, I have to agree with you, buddy. I think that when we talk about the Gators in Florida, that they perhaps could be truly the surprise team in the conference. They obviously have a lot of talent defensively, but they've got a lot of players that will be back offensively.
They do, and they have to get their receiving core worked out. They have a running back by committee, which I think is going to be work itself out. And Vernon Hargraves, a cornerback, I think is one of the best players in the league, offensively or defensively. But he came down with a bone bruise the other day, and it scared everybody because they cannot afford to lose him. And Dante Fowler, who's obviously got some speed on the edge, two really good players. They've got to sort out their defense, especially on the secondary. But I think Florida's defense under Muschamp is always going to be good. The question is, and Jeremy Foley told me this 3 or 4 weeks ago, we talked. He said, we've got to fix this offensive thing. So Foley gave him Muschamp a mulligan last year. Will it prove to be a good decision or a bad decision? We'll have to wait and see, but right now, early on, I think it might be a good decision to give Muschamp another shot at it.
You know, buddy, what were your takeaways from the opening day media press day at camp from Will Muschamp and how he responded to all the adversity from last year and the mindset coming into this season?
Yeah, we talked about what that might bring about, and we said if Muschamp is combative and goes up there and starts making excuses about last year and talking about injuries and really sort of not answering the questions, he's in for a long, long year and maybe a short career at Florida. He did not do that. He totally embraced the whole thing. He said, we're not going to try to blame that on injuries. That's, you know, basically said that that's not the reason that we lost as many games as we did last year. And he said, we didn't get the job done. So I said, I told my players, let's just shut up and play. You know, and so he owned everything about it. He even had a sense of humor about things. And then again, at Media Day in Gainesville, about 10 days later, he did the same thing. And I think his attitude, I know that your boys play golf.
Yes.
I know you understand the game of golf.
Yeah.
Here's what I liken it to. When you're standing over a water hazard mm-hmm. and you've got a six iron in your hand, mm-hmm. you tend to grip that club just a little too tight and quite often it results in a ball in the water. I think Will Muschamp has loosened his grip, which is exactly what it needed to be. I'm not predicting. He'll be Auburn of last year, which is probably as good a turnaround as has been in college football, maybe ever. I do think this football team in Gainesville, though, is one you're going to have to look at. and watch out for them.
Well, you're right, buddy, because Muschamp has certainly moved on. And it is interesting, you talk about the turnaround with Auburn. We saw that within teams of the SEC. What an incredible turnaround Missouri had. So one of the things I want to talk to you about is when you experience, I mean, you've covered college football for so many years, when you experience that type of adversity, just being the slew of injuries, being decimated at such a high volume, how much did that affect or motivate your team's psyche coming into a new season?
Well, you always want to take adversity and make it a positive motivating force. Coaches look for teaching moments. Last season, Will Muschamp had a teaching season. You know he's going to build off of that. Certainly no reason for the folks in Gainesville to be cocky about anything. It's a program that's been hugely successful. Mm-hmm. By the way, won more college football games than anybody since 1990. So you know what expected out of you. You know you're embarrassed about what happened to you last year. And as Muschamp said when he took the job on the very first day, his father taught him, he said, and when you have problems in life, it's 10% of the problem and 90% of how you react to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're going to find out. How will they react to it? And we'll find out when they get to that murderous schedule, starting in Tuscaloosa in a five-game stretch there. In game four, they go five tough games. We're going to find out what these Gators are made out of.
Well, we certainly will. It's going to be a very intense schedule. Talking about Jeff Driscoll last year, breaking his right leg. He's back. He's 100%. I was really impressed from what I saw online, how he's handled himself, his mindset coming into this season. Just quickly, tell us, what is your backup quarterback, or what is Florida's backup quarter situation? Who are they developing in terms of at that position and the depth? Because it was obvious when they did not have that last year.
Yeah, that's going to be a decision that has not yet made. It's between Morningweg and Greer. Greer's the freshman, and they'll be the ones now who are battling out the number two position. They have not made a choice on that, but one of the priorities that Muschamp said he had to do, he's got to find that backup quarterback, and he's got to find him fast. I'm just guessing at this point because I haven't really seen them practice yet because my show is on the afternoon here in North Central Florida. But it sounds like that maybe Greer, that terrific prospect, may not be quite ready for that. And Morningweg, who has played a little bit, may end up getting that role behind Driscoll.
Always a pleasure and honor. And again, buddy, congratulations on the new gig. We look forward to catching up with you, getting your perspective and insight on college football. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Listen, all the best to your boys and your family.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead this evening at YSR. You join us online at Twitter. We want to hear from you at eRadio Sports, and we will be right back. Okay, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we continue with our college football conversation and preview. We open tonight's show with our focus on the Pac-12 conference. Right now, we're going to take time to head over to the Big 12 and get the pulse and expectations on the Oklahoma Sooners. Always an honor to have with us at YSR the VP and Director of Athletics at the University of Oklahoma, and that is Joe Castiglione. Good evening, Joe. It's nice to have you with us on this Friday night.
Alyssa, it's great to hear your voice again, and it's always enjoyable to talk to you about football and college sports and all the great things that are going on in our world.
Absolutely. There's a lot of great things going on in Norman, and there's no doubt I've been following you, tracking you this summer. It's been very ambitious for you personally, and so we've got a number of subjects that we're going to discuss, but let's open and get your thoughts on the Sooners, because obviously anticipation is very high for the upcoming season, and you can certainly understand why. I mean, Oklahoma, they're loaded with talent, and many folks predicting that OU will be one of the four playoff teams at the end of the season. I just got to ask you, Joe, I mean, are you ready to usher in this new era in college football, because it's going to be very special, and once again, the stakes are going to be very high to be in the hunt for a national title?
Actually, our goal every year is to be in the hunt for a national title.
Sure.
And it's the mindset we have from every aspect of our preparation and building and development of our program. We don't know how the seasons are going to go in each and every case, but we certainly go into it with that mindset, and everybody has to buy in to give us the greatest chance. Obviously, we're always going to play a tough schedule. We intentionally schedule tough teams in the non-conference portion to give us the greatest preparation for playing a very tough Big 12 schedule, and then doing well from there gives us a chance to be in the postseason conversation. And as you mentioned, the whole approach is completely different this year than it's been up to this year. So we're looking forward to it, and hopefully the Sooners are in the conversation and part of those four teams selected to play for the national championship at the end of the regular season.
Always high expectations when you talk about the Oklahoma Sooners. But I have to ask you, as an athletic director, what are you looking forward to the most with this new college football playoff?
Actually, I would just say it's a different path to a national championship. It's much more difficult. Let's face it, where a team that wins the national championship is going to have to play two games after the regular season is complete instead of one.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be much more to manage because those two games will come virtually back-to-back. Now, from a competitor's mindset, one has to focus on getting in the first game before they think about the second game, and no team is in either game yet. So we are trying to do what's right to prepare for our opener against Louisiana Tech. I think one of the biggest things that we have coming back is our head coach, Bob Stoops, who is the winningest coach in Oklahoma history, the only coach to win each of the BCS bowl games and a national championship during the BCS era. He's an outstanding leader for our program, our university, and our state, and he and his staff continue to recruit the best and the brightest student-athletes for our program, and they develop, and then they become the names that people are talking about, like those that you mentioned early on and some that you'll continue to talk about throughout the year.
And, of course, Joe, you're right. I mean, the Sooners, they open their season August 30th against Louisiana Tech. And I'd love for you to just share a little bit more in terms of how strategic you guys have been, you and Coach Stoops, in terms of with your scheduling, the non-conference schedule. Obviously, you have to be very deliberate. You have to be intentional. It's got to be appealing to fans. But you don't want to overextend yourself, correct?
That's true. We all can play fantasy football in our mind and think, gee, wouldn't it be great, to play Ohio State, USC, Notre Dame, Florida, Alabama, or whatever order, in the non-conference portion, and then turn around and play nine conference games. It would be fun at the beginning of the year, but we're not like the NFL where we could go and trade for players when we start having injuries pile up against a brutal schedule. The one we play right now is already tough enough, and we do constantly strive to strike a balance. It's something we try to do and have to do sometimes 5 to 10 years in advance. As you have heard recently, we just completed a new series with the University of Michigan in 25 and 26, and people are excited that Oklahoma and Michigan are going to play for the first time ever in the regular season. We played in a bowl game before, but people are asking, why in the world are you scheduling games that far out? Well, to get the Tennessees and the Ohio States and the UCLAs and the Nebraskas and the Michigans and the LSUs that are already on our schedule, we have to plan that far out because those teams are trying to do the very same thing. Couldn't wait to 2-3 years before the contest and then decide to start looking. It just works differently in football than it does any other sport. And so that's why we're trying to plan. And when you do that, you're seeking the traditionally tough teams. Doesn't mean that other teams aren't going to rise up and maybe be even the best team in that given year, or whether that team is not going to be at its zenith the year you play it. You don't know. But you go with history, you go with tradition, you go with the expectation of strength more years than not. And that way, for all those reasons you just mentioned, we're going to constantly put our program in a great position to continue that sellout streak we have here at Owen Field, or to prepare our team so we can constantly be in the hunt to pursue a national championship.
That's right, the critical formula, so you have the opportunity to begin competing for a national championship. You rattle off Michigan, Ohio State. I've got the calendar marked for Tennessee. I actually have 4 siblings that are graduates of the University of Tennessee, so we are certainly looking forward to that. But tell us, what about Nebraska? Because we have Jason Peters on our show each and every week, and such a wonderful, a friendly rivalry throughout the years when Nebraska was in the Big 12 Conference.
Well, it might be nicknamed the most respectful rivalry in college sports.
Sure.
Because the really appreciation between the two universities and their fan bases, and most notably the players who have participated in that game, is quite noteworthy, particularly in today's world when we see how at times people act and behave and you know, emotions bubble over the wrong way. But that game, for years and years and years, generally decided who won the conference. And I really think it goes back to the way the coaches handled that rivalry, and it carried through to the players. We want to play. Each team wants their team to win as passionately as you could want to win, but there's still a great deal of respect. And we really lost that, and we really felt bad about losing that when, you know, Nebraska left the Big 12 Conference. And so, you know, the kind of relationship that exists between both universities really made a call to Coach Osborne, really probably a couple months at most after that announcement of Nebraska joining the Big Ten, and said, you know, as disappointed as we are that our relationship won't continue in the conference, we have to find a way to continue to keep this game alive if we can. And of course, there was a lot of transition that he had to face with the Big Ten at that time, and he was interested and supportive and agreeable that, you know, the relationship between the two universities is strong and needs to be maintained. But we had to wait a little while before we can find, you know, time to schedule a game. But true to his word, you know, when it was time, we got back together again and talked about it, and we landed on the two dates that we have in 21 and 22. And coincidentally, you know, I'd mentioned to him that, you know, the in 21 is the 50th anniversary of the game of the century between Oklahoma and Nebraska. And there probably people that will be at that game didn't even know about the game of the century. but we'll, those of us that are here will make everybody understand how big that was. You know, there are a lot of games that have occurred since then that are nicknamed games of the century, but that was the first. And coincidentally, also, that time college football appeared on Thanksgiving Day. That game was on Thanksgiving. And as a youngster, I remember sitting in front of the TV and watching that. And it was really my first exposure to Oklahoma and Nebraska, and how I knew who Jack Mildren was, and how I knew who Johnny Rogers was, and you know, how I knew through some of the players, and then followed them through their career, you know, as I was growing up in South Florida. So that's such a notable game in history of college football. But that's the kind of relationship that we have, and how that game came to be. And hopefully it's also a springboard to some other games down the road.
The VP Director of Athletics at the University of Oklahoma, Joe Castiglione, has been with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And Joe, we are flat out of time. We haven't even had a chance to talk about the new renovation getting ready to take place at Memorial Stadium. And so I promise we'll just keep it an open invitation, and we will catch up with you here in the next month or so, okay?
Oh, that'd be great. I'm always willing to do it again and be on your show, and I appreciate the invitation whenever it happens.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Okay, the college football conversation continues at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And yes, we have certainly hit the gridiron very hard. Right now, we're going to narrow our focus. We're going to head to Austin and get the insight on the Texas Longhorns as they are looking to restore their mental, their physical toughness. They want to get back to the top of the mountain in college football. And always a pleasure to have back with us from Horns Illustrated. And that, of course, is Steve Hayes. The big season ahead. Good to have you with us tonight, Steve.
Thanks, Alyssa. Appreciate you having me on again.
Well, there certainly is a lot of speculation on how the season will unfold for the Longhorns. In your mind, what is the best-case scenario in 2014?
Well, the best-case scenario is for Texas to be able to play like the Louisville team that Charlie Strong coached last year, play like that by this season. I don't know if that's possible. You know, I happened to be home on a random Saturday night last weekend, and caught the Louisville-Miami game last year in the Russell Athletic Bowl. That team just dominated Miami. And, you know, the coaches that we now see at Texas, so many of them are coaching those kids up, you know, a lot of enthusiasm. And, you know, we see a lot of that, what we can see at Texas, and we expect some of that from those guys. But I don't know, it's just maybe a little bit early to think a team can be that in tune with its coaching staff and with itself so early.
Well, I have to tell you, Steve, I mean, I'm very anxious to learn more about the head coach Charlie Strong and the impact that he's going to have. But looking at the scouting reports, I mean, what is Texas, what are they going to be really, really good at?
Well, that's something we have to figure out. You know, they've got great linebacker play on the defense. They've got some guys coming back, Jordan Hicks coming back from a series of injuries over the past 3 years. He's going to be a team leader. They've got Steve Edmund, who's been a stalwart there. You know, they've got good secondary play with Quandre Diggs, who's a senior quarterback, you know, been a leader on that team. It's hard to believe he's been on that team for 4 years, but it's his fourth year coming up. You know, David Ash is a positive situation if he's healthy. We don't know if that's the case or not. Running back, they've got two great guys with Jonathan Gray and Malcolm Brown. So, I mean, that would probably be the strength of the team at this point.
Defense, running the ball, but one of the things we heard Coach Strong talk a lot about at the Big 12 Media Days in Dallas is just having toughness, having grit, the togetherness, the trust. I mean, those are obviously essential ingredients in order to be a winner. Steve, is it fair to say that perhaps over the past few years, I mean, I'm a big Mac Brown fan, that the program got a little bit soft? I mean, is that okay to say?
Well, that's definitely the knock that's on them right now, Alyssa. It was hard to believe, since we were all so close to Mac Brown, to think that he let the team get soft. But it's a possibility. You know, he had a run, you know, a revolving door of coaches in there the last couple of years to try to fix what happened during their 5-7 year three or 4 years back. But it's you know, the team is obviously walking a different walk now and talking a different talk. It just depends on if they can do that when the lights really go on August the 30th.
Okay, so Steve, talk some more to us about Charlie Strong. Obviously a defensive-oriented guy. He brings that mindset, that tough love approach. But I thought it was very interesting. And I have to ask you, I mean, did he irritate the Texas fan base by his statement that the Longhorns, that they're not going to be in a national championship game this year?
Well, I think that some people were kind of taken aback by that. But, I mean, the realists understand that that's exactly where Texas is. I mean, whenever you're not winning conference games and haven't won, you know, the Big 12 since 2009, and it's a hard thing to say that you're going to go win the national championship, especially with so many question marks on the team. I think Strong is a straight shooter. You know, I think given time that Texas will be a great team under Charlie Strong. I don't know how long that's going to be. You know, they've got a tough schedule this year to deal with.
They do, yeah.
First year.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot of factors going into that, and I think Strong is just being more of a realist than anything else.
Yeah, I want to talk about that schedule here in just a moment, but let me ask you, I mean, Steve, you've been a part of this program, and you've covered it for so many years. I mean, what does your gut tell you in terms of how far are the Longhorns from competing, once again, like in 2005, competing for a national title?
Well, you know, I think, like I said before, I think they got to be able to compete for a Big 12 conference title first. They are. And, you know, the teams in front of them, just because Charlie Strong is at Texas, they're not taking any steps back. You know, Coach Stoops has got a great squad at Oklahoma, as he showed last year in his bowl game. You know, Baylor's great. Tech is still coming. I mean, it's not a situation where we're working in a bubble here, Alyssa. You know that as well as I do.
Sure.
There's great teams all around them. And, you know, they've got to play a lot of those guys on the road this year. So, I mean, you know, it would be great if there was a 5-year plan to get Texas back to the national championship. I don't know if that's even realistic at this point.
You know, I make that statement, but I found it interesting that Coach Strong has warned the players, do not get caught up into expectations, but have it be all about preparation. I mean, don't put any unnecessary pressure on yourself and on the team.
Well, you know, football, 95% of football, Alyssa, is about what teams do in practice. You know, that's stuff that people don't see. They're away from the fans' eyes. And we had the opportunity to see Strong team practice last Sunday in an open practice at Memorial Stadium. And they spent the first 25 minutes just on basic one-on-one hitting drills. And it was pretty impressive to see those guys going after each other with a desire that we hadn't seen in a long time. You know, it's football is a hard, hard sport. I mean, when you're talking about the heat of the Texas summer down here, it's 109 degrees. You know, and heat index, and this is kind of what separates the contenders from the pretenders, and we'll see what happens. You know, again, like I say, when North Texas and Texas kick off on August 30th.
Well, certainly looking forward to that game, and it is great knowing that defensively and their ability to run the ball. But obviously, what the biggest concern is going to be the offensive line. I mean, they've got to do a better job of protecting the quarterback and David Ash.
Well, everything starts with the offensive line, Alyssa. You know that as well as I do. I mean, she's not. you're not blocking for quarterback or running back, then you know it's not going to get the yards. I know that Coach Strong's offense is going to be more of a short pass, run the ball, you know, quick stuff offense. You know, but that's still a change from what they've had here in the past. So it's it's going to take a little time, but the offensive line is good. I mean, they've got some great offensive linemen. It's just a matter of those guys can gel and how fast they can do it.
Can you give us a pulse on and a quick hit on David Ash? I mean, a little bit, how does he look? I mean, obviously the news is that he's healthy, but, I mean, he really is the guy that can make it happen and get the Longhorns in the hunt.
Yeah, and Alyssa, I think that David Ash is the difference between Texas being a 7-5 or 6-6 team and maybe a 3-9 team, to be quite honest with you. There, you know, nobody really knows exactly what Ash is going to happen when he's actually under fire. I mean, he's had concussion syndrome last year, and what happens when he takes those first couple of hits will determine how good he is. I mean, we don't get to see a lot of him. In practice, he's got a black jersey on. He's not getting touched. He's throwing the ball well. He had a good spring until he hurt his foot. So it's a matter of, when he gets under somebody actually that wants to do some damage to him, we'll see what happens.
So David Ash is the projected starter, but what do you like about him the most? What do you like about David?
Well, Ash is tough. I mean, he's a tough kid, and he's smart. He likes playing quarterback at Texas. That's why he came here. I mean, he'd tell you that to your faces, that he didn't want to go anywhere else. He wanted to play quarterback for Texas, so he has his wish. And he's a, I think when he's in the flow of the game and he's healthy, then he's probably one of the top two or three quarterbacks in the conference, behind Petty, behind Knight maybe. But there's, it's just a matter of him doing that. I mean, sometimes he does boneheaded things. it's like everybody else does.
Oh yeah.
At this point, he's a fourth-year junior because of his injury, so he should be over a lot of the boneheaded mental stuff that he was doing in the past. It's just a matter of his body and his physical conditioning will allow him to do what he wants to do.
Well, it's going to be exciting to watch how the season unfolds. And as you said, I mean, they've got a very ambitious schedule. Kicking off August 30th, North Texas, and that is one of those tricky teams you just certainly cannot overlook. Steve Habel has been with us, the associate editor with Horns Illustrated. Always a pleasure, Steve, and we look forward to catching up again real soon, okay?
Thanks, Alyssa. Take care.
That, of course, was Steve Habel, the associate editor with Horns Illustrated. We want to take time now to thank all of our guests and our lineup. They were certainly amazing. Mitch Light, the executive editor with Athlon Sports. Joe Castiglione, the VP and director of athletics at the University of Oklahoma. Buddy Martin, columnist with SouthernPigskin.com. Bill Ingram, the senior NBA analyst with Basketball Insiders. And Jason Peter, who joins us each and every week. Of course, we want to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at eRadioSports, and our podcast page at YahooSportsRadio.com. /podcast. Don't drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show.
Save big on everything for your next project. Now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Allergen Air Filters. They trap larger airborne contaminants to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our entire selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.